Let's get talking with some conversation.
What's happening, people? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. We're getting into our interview section slightly earlier today than normal, as this one's slightly last minute. However, it's definitely a conversation I'll be looking forward to having. Someone who has been on the show before, someone who I haven't caught up with in what seems like forever, but someone I'm very excited to talk to this morning. Man Like Devious is on the line. How are you doing, sir?
Yes. Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. It's great to get you on the line. It's great to get you back, obviously, on the phone as well. Obviously, we've got a fair bit to talk about today. I'm really excited to dive into a bit more of the music side of things, but obviously, I want to catch up with you and discuss what's been going on. So how's things? How's Tricks your end?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's going really well, actually. We had a bit of a quiet period with the label, just for the fact of COVID and everything. There's three of us that run it, obviously, so it's quite hard to get all of us in the same, you know, in the same mode. We've just got this last release coming out from me, just rounding off the last of the year, to be fair. It's going all right. Still doing the Trickstar shows with you. So, going decent, man.
Awesome, man. It's good to hear. Obviously, from a kind of label perspective, I don't think we've actually spoken properly since lockdown officially ended for the first time. How did you find that kind of return to, I suppose, a more live atmosphere? Did you find it affecting the ways you were running the label at all?
Definitely. I mean, I think the one thing that really hit me about the whole COVID thing was, obviously, a lot of people make the area we're in, we make a lot of music for live events, clubs and stuff like that. So I think a lot of people, once COVID hit, they had to reshape their sort of approach to music, essentially. Like, what would you listen to it in a club, or are you going to listen to it at home? Which, like, is this the type of song you just listen to yourself at home? So I've noticed that quite a lot with a lot of artists. They've come out and start releasing, I wouldn't say chiller stuff, but, you know, just more stuff you jam at home to listening to, rather than be listening to at a club. I think that's kind of the direction most people have gone with now, just only because of COVID. I can see it coming bouncing back. I mean, it started to now. I think a lot of people have held on to their best songs until club season comes back in, so they can bang them out to people. But I think that's kind of the gist of it, really.
Makes sense, man. That makes sense. I think on top of that as well, when you look at obviously the return to dances, we have sort of seen a big boom in a lot of different sounds across the UK over that sort of lockdown period. Garage in particular is one we've seen a lot of. How have you found yourself from, like, a production angle? How have you found your kind of influences coming forward? Like, have you found any sort of change in what you wanted to make with what was going on?
Yeah, so I mean, because I had more time on my hands, really. I mean, you always get into this flow of, like, you know, I mean, I think everyone falls to it. You want quantity over quality, but at the same time, you want quality over quantity. There's you get a lot of artists that you see artists bang out so many tunes left, right, and center, and they're really good. It kind of makes you think, oh yeah, I'm gonna bust out loads of tunes quantity wise. But I think what COVID sort of made me realize is, you know, I've got a lot of time on my hands now, so trying to get the quality of vibe on it, you know. Maybe only do five tracks throughout the year, but have five solid tracks rather than, you know, try and bang out as many as you can. I think that's kind of the approach I went for. I tried to make sort of more of original stuff, really, rather than I say original stuff. I think most things have been done now, so
of course.
In terms of my sense, yeah, I think it feels a bit more original than some of the previous stuff that I would have brought out. And that's only because I've had more time. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some big artists out there at the moment. I mean, like Dunman for one, he's absolutely killing it with the amount of tunes he brings out. But it's also on a qualitative layer as well. I think that's what I kind of wanted to stick for, was trying to do a bit more quality over quantity. I think I was getting stuck in the vibe of trying to produce loads of songs, essentially.
I feel you, man. I feel you. I mean, we are here to kind of talk about releases in particular today. Obviously, we've got a new, very exciting piece from yourself, which is very much in the process of landing as we speak. Really excited to talk about this as a project. Before we do actually dive into it, though, obviously, you're someone who's released with a fair few different people. You've kind of been involved in a lot of different areas over the years at this point. What do you find, from an artist perspective, is the main sort of difference between releasing on someone else's label and releasing on your own? Because it's something that's quite like a unique thing if you run a label, but a lot of people don't necessarily go through that. So how would you describe it as an experience different wise?
I mean, I'm not one to bring loads and loads of releases out a year. I'm quite selective about it. And it's obviously, the choice is you release it yourself or you release it with other labels. The other labels is interesting. When you want to apply to, you know, when you want to, when you've found a label that you want to, you know, release with, it's not a question of making tunes and sending off them. It's a question of, you know, listening through their catalog and see what the type of vibe that they go through, and sort of styling your own sort of approach to music based around what they like. I think that's the best way you can do with some labels. I think a lot of people lose, you know, they make a track, they think it's so good because they've made it, and then they send it off to labels and they don't get the response they want. So I don't think they've looked into the background of the label, what they want, how they want it, what the type of sounds they're looking for. I think I've learned that over the last couple of years, year or two as well, that, you know, just because you made a good track doesn't mean everyone else thinks it. You've got to find the right platform that suits it. So yeah, I think that's a big factor of it. You need to, and then obviously if you really like the track yourself, you know, and you really want to push it out, obviously do it solo. If no one takes it, do it solo and do it yourself. It's still, you know, you're still raising your platform. And worst comes to worst, you know, if it gets to a year or two and you really don't like it, you can take it down, but that's because it's your own release.
Of course.
It's one of those, you know, it's one of those two things. Like, I mean, I wouldn't do that myself personally, but, you know, it gives you that benefit of, you know, oh, maybe I don't like my catalogue anymore, I can rearrange it. I think it's quite hard when you release something with a label and then you come back like 5 years later and go, ah, do you know what, actually, it's not really my sound anymore. It's quite hard to, you know, talk to them about, it doesn't really fit my discography anymore. So I think there's benefits and there's drawbacks with each. It's just a question of what you want to do, really. I mean, yeah, if you think you can pop it out on your solo, then go for it. I mean, some people have and they've done it really well. It's just a question how you do it, mate.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense, man. Again, it's an interesting perspective, obviously, because a lot of people release primarily with other labels. A lot of people release primarily on their own. Being someone that kind of does both, it is always quite an interesting thought thing to have. And obviously, we are going to talk about this new release. Obviously, four tracks, very, very exciting stuff. We opened up today's conversation before we actually jumped into our discussion today by playing Lies. Talk to me about this tune, obviously, the sort of inspiration behind it and how it came together.
Right, yeah. So Lies, for me, I mean, I think it was quite like at the time, emotionally, it was quite a good thing. I felt like I was going through a bit of a process where, you know, a lot of lies, basically. So I started making a track. I always make tracks to my moods. That's kind of how I go. But what I really liked about this EP and this track is that I really went for all the sounds on my own. The only thing you probably would hear that's not my own is the Rihanna vocals, slight chops in it. That's the only thing that wasn't mine, and every other vocals I made from it. So this is why I really like this EP, because it's 100% my own production. Mucking around with all the sounds heavily. So yeah, that's what I quite like about it. I feel like I've properly put my own, you know, my own thought process into this, and not just sampled like some people would. So yeah.
Nice, man. Really, really nice. Well, we're going to jump into the second track of this EP, which is also the title track. It goes by the name Avenue. Talk to me again about this one, a similar thought thing. Why is this one the title track, though?
In fact, I think this is probably one of my favourite tracks that I've made. Not necessarily because it's the most uplifting or the most, you know, energetic or anything like that. I like it for the fact that I put a lot of time into it. The main vocal lead is a lead that I made myself. I just put a lot of energy into this, even if it doesn't produce a lot of energy in the actual track. For me, it's the one that stood out the most as the most production heavy in my term, and I just really like it. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff, man. Fantastic. Well, we're going to jump into this one right about now. We are live on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio this morning. We're live on the line with Devious. This one, it goes by the name of Avenue. So keep it locked and don't go anywhere.
Trickstar Radio.
The best in underground music culture.
What's happening, people? We're back inside the building, live on the line with Man Like Devious this morning. It's the interview hour, slightly earlier than normal. Obviously, we'd normally run the interviews at 9. This one's coming in slightly earlier as we have a very jam-packed day of new content to get through. So, obviously, we've just listened to that tune. It goes by the name Avenue. That one, it's, as you said, is the sort of lead track off the project, the one that you're kind of most fond of out of the selection. Talk to me about the EP as like a whole. When did it first come into the sort of realms of being, shall we say, as an EP? And how did you find the process for this one?
So the process for this is very long. I mean, I'd say this is about, as much as I don't like it, it's probably been about a year just for the other releases we had at our EPs and stuff. It was meant to be a 7-track EP. Then I decided I cut it down too much. I thought it was too long. So there's a lot of factors that went into it. The main thought I had from this EP was I wanted something that was fun, something that sort of covered a wide spread of genres while still sort of, you know, formulating a 140 EP. So I tried to include as much things as I can in there. I've got a bit of trap, we've got a bit of wave. There's a bit of halftime sort of drum patterns and sort of styling with bass noises in there. We've also got, I tried to go for sort of future bass style stuff as well in there. So I said it's a mixture of all the sort of all sort of genres that I'm sort of following at the moment that I'm really enjoying, but I'm just trying to take my own twist on it. So I'm very much about, you know, you've got to find your own sound. And I always think sometimes you can listen to two songs and they sort of sound similar. So that's why I take my time. But as I said, you know, everyone has their own opinion, so I'm only saying mine.
No, of course, man, of course. And I think obviously, as you've just said there, you're someone who does have quite a wide sort of spectrum of music you release. Like, there's this sort of central devious sound, I feel, and then there's these other sort of offshoots that are all sort of quite like folded into now what you do. How do you kind of know when a tune is going in a certain direction? Like, at what point do you go, you know what, this is where we're taking it?
That's funny, actually, because when you said you mentioned Devious, because obviously I picked Devious for the actual name itself, being Devious for the tunes you make, so being quite, yeah. But yeah. I know, yeah, funny, yeah. For me, I have this thing in my head. It's kind of like a dinner bell going off in my head when I hear the right sample or I hear the right sound, and it sort of fits, you know, I get the right kick or right snare or just two separate samples or two separate sounds or two separate sounds that I've made together out of two different synthesizers. When they work together, there's a click in my head, like a little little dinner bell. Ready, so and that's what goes in my head. So I could do about a week. I could do a week of making tunes and none of them being up my not being satisfactory for me. And then eventually I'll just find something, two things that work together, or the two different projects, and they're like, that works well and that works well. I should bung that together in one project. And that's how I come about it. I don't like going with the first thing. I can't really put it any other words than there's a little dinner bell.
Yeah, no. I think I know the exact sort of thing you mean. It's like a light bulb moment to an extent, where it just kind of clicks in. Entirely, man. And I think obviously off the back of this is going to be your, I believe, last project, last full project, shall we say, of the year in regards to like full releases. And I think on top of this as well, I do think having listened through the full project, it's a very good example of what you're now currently up to. But following this, what's sort of next for you? Obviously, 2022 is around the corner, which feels weird to say. Yeah. But like, what? How are you looking up shape-wise to 2022? Like, what's on the way from yourself?
Do you want to answer that as a label or as my own artist?
Both.
Both. Yeah, that's fair enough. So as the label, yeah, this may be our last EP of the year, but we've already got our next EP locked in for next year. Yeah, I think I can mention the artist. Do you know Real Tears? I'm guessing you know Real Tears.
Yes, I know that.
Yes. Well, Real Tears is coming in with a big EP next year in January. I won't give anybody much more than that, but there's a lot of tracks on there, a lot of Shellers. So that's going to be the setting off our tone for the rest of the year, essentially. I think we're just going to revamp the whole sort of ethos of the company. It's going to be near enough the same, but with added content. So we're going to start doing a lot more looking into the artists' lives and bios of the actual EP, what they thought about the EP themselves and what influenced them. You know, just sort of expanding the label really naturally, as it should do. And then in terms of myself as an artist, I've got this left as my last EP of the year. I also have another track coming out, but I'm not sure if I can mention that yet.
I think you can.
I got another track coming with South Point. Is this coming out at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's around the end of the year.
Well, as I said, Kobe is the one to talk to about that.
That's not the reason I dragged you on today. Trust me.
I got another release coming out with South Point. Just a single on a various artists EP. That's the gist of what I'm doing for this year. I've got a few things that I'm going to line up for next year, but as I said, they're all, I don't want to make any promises, because I was going to promise that this is going to be a 7-track EP for Escape, and it turned out to be a 4-track, and it worked out better. So I can't make any promises just because I don't know yet, but there's a lot.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I tell you what, it's been great getting you on the line today. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know you're a busy guy running around doing 1,000 things, so thank you for joining us.
There's a person doing a million things.
I just sit in front of a microphone, my friend. That's all I do. But yeah, we're going to round off today's show with this interview, with this one, Shanghai Fi. Talk to me about this tune, because this is another one that immediately stood out to me as quite an explosive kind of take on the Devious sound. So talk to me about this one just before we finish up.
So I had a sort of visualization of how I wanted the track to go, sort of the EP to go. I quite like the whole ghetto sort of avenue, sort of street style, sort of, well, that's how the EP looks, if people go and see it. But the tracks, I wanted to sort of visualize that as well. And one thing that sprang to my mind was Tokyo Drift with Need for Speed. No, CB Speed. I forgot what it's called. Fast and Furious, that's it. So that's what really stuck in my mind. And I really liked the vibe of that. Obviously, I didn't want to recreate it, I want to try something else. So I sort of tried to go for that sort of Japanese style, street song. And that's what I came up with. And that's Shanghai Five.
Fantastic stuff, man. Well, that's what we're going to finish up with today. Dude, it's been an absolute pleasure getting into another conversation with you. Always welcome back on this show, as always. One more time, just so people are aware, how can people find yourself and, of course, the label as well on social media platforms?
Yeah, so I'm Devious, D-V-U-S. That's the app. I'm on SoundCloud and Twitter. And then the Escape label is ESC_, so Escape. And that's, you can find us at ESC_label, and that's on Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Twitter, Spotify, Facebook, you name it, we got it.
Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. Well, dude, as I said, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll chat soon, okay?
Excellent. See you soon, man.
Nice one, dude. Thank you. Keep it locked and don't go anywhere, people. We're live on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio this morning. This one, the sounds of Shanghai Fi here on the Big Bad. Keep it locked and don't go anywhere. We're back in a few minutes' time.
Brand new here on Trickstar.